need to have a quick meeting with the deacons right after Bible class. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center, the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this evening in the doctrine of nationalism. We'll pick up Roman numeral 6, page 3 of our notes. All right, as is our custom before the study of God's Word, we'll give you opportunity to check your life spiritually, to check your STA, utilizing the rebound technique if necessary, allowing the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, so that we can once again profit and maximize from the study at hand this evening. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for yet another gracious opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, for once again this evening, enlighten us to the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, nationalism, nations, is the fourth of four divine institutions ordained by God. Nations are designed to provide maximum freedom for divine institution one, volition, as well as maximum protection and support for the institutions two and three, husband and wife and families. It was ordained by God as part of the Noahic covenant, as we have seen in the book of Genesis, as he told Noah for his offsprings to go out, multiply, and fill the earth. The origination of nations needed, however, a kickstart for this to occur. That is made clear through the Tower of Babel incident, in which mankind corporately determined to reject God's plan to spread out, and rather united as one under the tutelage of Nimrod and others, and relocated and sought to build the first new, first one world religious, civil order, political order. And this was in open rebellion of God. Obviously, as we know, God came in and jammed their efforts by removing the luxury of a common language, which all men enjoyed at that one time, to a multiplicity of languages, so they were frustrated and could not continue on with their endeavors. The Tower of Babel incident obviously reveals Satan's agenda and attack in regards to this divine institution, and that is through implementing a counterfeit proposition of a one world order in regards to man. And God obviously intervened early on in history to make sure that the satanic attack did not come to fruition. It is obviously prophesied that it would have a major success to a certain degree. Later on in history, and all the events of Tower of Babel is designed to ensure that nothing happens premature in regards to God permitting or determining it to be at any time and point in history in this respect. So the Tower of Babel is a prelude to the end days, in which a new world order again is organized and orchestrated by Satan, and this time he will be permitted to introduce to the human scene his savior of the world, the false messiah, the Antichrist, in this vein. Nations themselves, as we have stated, obviously are designed to provide security for families, for their citizens. That security comes both external protection as well as internal. The external protection is why you have a military for a country. A military is designed to protect the citizens of a country from aggressive predator nations seeking to overthrow, overpower, claim real estate, things of this nature. It's always important to understand that throughout history, God is always in control of all these events. He's the one that determines nations, their existence, a time of existence, and even the very territory of which they occupy. But obviously, in doing so, we see the exercise of man's will in the matters and operation under their sin natures and otherwise in regards to obtaining territory and property in this respect. So a secure nation is a nation with a strong military to defend their borders. And then obviously they are designed to provide internal security, this through civil authority, through police and things of this nature, judicial system, so that the citizens can have the best opportunity possible in time to live a unencumbered, unchaotic life otherwise, apart from simply trying to survive in whatever conditions they may exist. All right, Roman numeral 6 now, continuing on here with the doctrine, deals with the believer and the nation, our attitude in regards to this application of doctrine. The believer recognizes the truth, first and foremost, that there are no authorities that exist apart from the will of God. All authority is established by God, good and bad. He, even under his permissive will, is in control of these things. And for the adjusted believer, it is his duty before God to be establishment-oriented in this respect and to recognize the authority as first and foremost being what God wants in his place at any given point in time. Romans 13, which we will look at a few times throughout this point, makes it very clear that God is the one that does establish authority. Let every soul be in subjection to the governing authorities. Not rebellious, things of this nature, but to obviously orient and acclimate in regards to the authoritative structure as it's established in regards to their own society, country, including jobs, school, home life, any other place where authority exists. And it goes on, Paul goes on to state, and obviously he had to apply this doctrine in regards to Rome, the state of Rome, having jurisdiction over his life. It eventually cost him his life through martyrdom, through their judicial system. But you don't see Paul or any of the other apostles going in and trying to round up a rebellion to overthrow the yokes otherwise. You don't like what you live in, then that's why we have nations. That's why you can have opportunity to go up, move, and find you another place to live. Anyway, for there is no authority, verse 1, except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And again, this means all authority. And yes, some authority abuses its power, but it does not negate the principle of authority, nor does it negate the principle of the fact that God's in control in regards to these things, and God is a big supporter of authority. So that is obviously a principle that we individually and as believers corporately must adhere to in regards to the society of which we live. B, the believer is to be law-abiding of the nation in which he lives. Obviously, he has the appeal to the laws of the nation just as any other individual would. Obviously, some citizens don't have much of appeal in that respect, as they may be governed by a dictator, a military government, or whatever. Obviously, we have laws, and laws are designed for our benefit and to seek to ensure a smooth ride in regards to being a nation. And we are to obey these laws, even when they may be unfair, legalistic, unjust in that respect. 1 Peter 2:12. Peter, you know, he's kind of a hothead. We saw him in the garden with Jesus, and he's ready to take on the Praetorian Guard as they come to arrest him. Christ tells him, "Back off." You know, but he obviously acclimates, and he recognizes the importance of our witness of the life as believers, as Christians, in this vein. And verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. As believers, being out in the world at large, the Gentiles looking at all nations other than Israel, basically, in that vein. So that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, that they may make accusation towards you with legal ramifications most often in that respect. They may, on account of your good works or deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we are to conduct our behavior as law-abiding citizens in this respect, as we apply it towards governing law, and not be the rebellious, criminal, other derelict type of individuals that so often run the gamut of society. See, this involves obedience to all the established authorities in the nation. While we're at 1 Peter, then verses 13 through 15, he brings in the fact that this ties in with authority, civil authority. Submit yourselves, verse 13, for the Lord's sake to every human institution, that judicial, societal, civil type of institutions that have authority to render legal decisions and guidelines, etc. Whether to a king as one authority, that includes from the highest echelon of a position of authority, a president, again, no matter how good or how bad, or to governors, one of lesser authority but still holding authority here for us in regards, we recognize governors over states in our society as sent by him. They are designed to operate a increment of the federal republic. That's what it's supposed to be. And under the guidelines of the Constitution, see. And all state laws are supposed to align themselves and be in harmony with that, etc. As the governor sent to him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right, establishment, even in the bad ones, recognize those who align themselves and support the authoritative structure versus those who are rebellious or disobedient, antinomian, in that respect. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. To do what's right. Authorities sometimes can tell you one thing and turn around and change your mind, and now you got a whole other ball of wax to look at. But you do what the authority said to do, as long as it does not cause you to sin. And obviously, again, you have all legal recourse available. Then back to Romans 13, verse 2, therefore he who resists authority, since the authority is all established by God, has opposed the statute, if you will, or ordinance of God. Understand, when one rebels, rejects, stubbornly rejects, and goes against authority, God takes that personally. That's what he's saying. You have rejected, opposed, come in opposition to what God has otherwise determined should be the right way. And that's acclimation, subservience to the authority. Again, whether it's child to parents, wife to husband, employee to boss, student to teacher, citizen to police, other institutions that carry authority, et cetera, right up the chain of command. Obviously, we recognize it under the spiritual chain of command the same way. And it goes on, there is condemnation to show that God is indeed behind this. He set up a system naturally when people rebel or oppose that authority, there are certain repercussions they will face. And that's the second part of the verse. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. In other words, they will reap the consequences. They'll reap the penalty. Break the law, you get caught. And because you don't get caught doesn't make it right. Then you pay the fine or whatever you may be subject to under the particular disobedient act one engages in. So you don't stand there and have gangs of people throw rocks at authorities and other atrocious activities that we see go on in societies if you want to be an adjusted believer. You see that kind of activity, my advice to you is stay away. Get the hell out of Dodge. Get as far away from that kind of activity as you can. Civil unrest. Let the police do their job or whoever else may be involved. See? But don't ever be a part of that. D, the Word of God does not sanction revolution, overthrow, conspiracy, assassinations, etc. Yeah, that brings up the question in regards to the establishment of our nation as a revolution in regards to England, but there is some side points, and that is the people that were here established the land, and they were establishing their own government, and England basically says, well, that's ours. So, you know, you got what you got in either case. Again, that was verse 2, Romans 13. Does not sanction revolution, overthrow, conspiracy, assassinations, all the other covert and other types of activities going on. Again, you have the law that you can appeal to. Not up to us to determine, the guilt and innocence of certain things that go on out there. Some things on the surface seem to be in direct violation of the Constitution, but what can you say in regards to certain government activities? But it doesn't behoove us to become a part of that type of organization. So, E, the adjusted believer recognizes that while abuses exist, all authorities are ultimately placed there for his good. Believers throughout history are known to be passive in nature. We are not the jihad type of religion. We don't need to. When that does occur, we got someone who will fight for us. See. Again, back to Romans 3, going on, or 13, excuse me. I'll just continue reading verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. You're not breaking the law, then you shouldn't have to be looking over your shoulder. But for evil, do you want to have no fear of authority? You want to become one of these rebellious, antinomian types? You want to be a gangster or whatever? You know, they want to call themselves the old mafia style, showing disrespect in regards to authority. People that are otherwise trying to protect the population from being robbed, if not murdered. Do what is good and you'll have praise for the same. You support it, then they will support you. See, it will be recognized in no uncertain terms. If nothing else, they won't jack with you. That's always a good thing. See, you won't have them breathing down your neck. See, all of us have probably been in positions, been pulled over, maybe. Not maybe some of you are really just perfect drivers, I don't know. But I'm not. Been a long time, haven't always been. But I've always. You're nice, they're nice. Yeah, you know you're wrong. Lay on. And quite often, probably more times than I can actually remember, walked away with a warning because you're polite and they recognize it. You know. Or you've got a good story for them. I've never tried that. All right, you caught me. You know, you're not the first one to stop me today. Oh, <ooh. laughs> you don't want to tell them that. Verse 4, for it is a minister of God to you for good. Authority, civil authority, to provide for you all the good things, provide for you an environment so you can pursue all the good things in life. See. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. Obviously, any society that removes the sword as part of their judicial role completely dismisses having that kind of power and effect in regards to the populace. And as we even read earlier verses, if you don't have a judicial system that provides a quick trial and sentencing, that further diminishes even if one does have laws for capital punishment in place. It takes away the effect. See. But either way, God has ordained authority and given authority, civil authority, the right and power to execute justice on behalf of victims of life. Does not bear the sword for nothing. Verse 4, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. All these people that everybody raises Cain over in regards to supposedly abused by police or whatever, and nobody will really look at these people's lives to begin with. The kind of person that find themselves in this type of mess. Most of these people, a lot of these people, I don't know most, but a lot, and if you look at all of them, probably would be most, generally have shady backgrounds at best. They're out doing things wrong. They get caught. They stir the pot, and then something worse happens. Then it's the cop's fault, see, in their eyes. the policeman's fault. My parents were establishment-oriented. They didn't allow to use the term cops or coppers in the house, you know, like the old movies. Watch the movie, hey, copper. No, you don't do that. You don't say that. They're policemen. Then I got old enough, I got out of the house, and I called them whatever I wanted. But, you know, that's the way it goes. But either way, to have respect, show respect, and respect will be shown back. Again, obviously, you've got bad apples in every barrel. You're not going to avoid that. People have STAs. But in general and overall, this is the way the world turns. They ought to make a soap opera with that title. The believer is to pray for the establishment chain of command. Rather than moan and groan about it, complain about it, pray about it. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings, running the gamut of one's prayer approach to the Father, be made on behalf of all men. Obviously, the prayers have to be restricted in regards to what you pray according to doctrine. But for those especially in places of high responsibility of governance, authority over others, civilly, we should keep them in our prayers for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The believer's quest and desire should to have a, if you want to say, a smooth life, is one that's uninterrupted by civil disturbance, disobedience, etc., that we can pursue Bible doctrine unhindered, things of that nature. So we are to pray that God helps authority to check the unscrupulous types, to jam on their behalf and protect them otherwise, so that we can maintain an order among our society to apply Bible doctrine in our lives. Verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God will honor this prayer, even though you may be praying for unbelievers in this vein, to help them keep peace and order in society. So G, civil disobedience, which is the exception, is only justified in exceptional cases, when the nation seeks to take the place of God and or a higher spiritual principle is at stake. In other words, we have as the highest authority the truth of doctrine. It doesn't make a difference how powerful someone is. They do not have the right to make someone else sin, to not allow them to pray to their God. And in occasions such as that, there is a higher authority that we can appeal to. It doesn't mean that it would always end up in a miraculous result, such as with Daniel's friends and Daniel himself in their time in history. It may mean becoming a political prisoner, or worse, martyred out. But you have that authority from God. This is the exception. Daniel 3, verse there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was set up for Nebuchadnezzar by other unscrupulous types that were in positions of authority to, if you will, deify Nebuchadnezzar, if you will. And for people to fall down and worship him. That's the background to the situation. Verse 6 gives you the results, but whoever does not, Daniel 3, fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And a time was given when this would occur. Everybody would be put on notice with the musical instruments at hand. And obviously we're talking a world ruler here, which is not uncommon for those who assume so much power to think they're God. See. And the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. With the exception. And that's brought out then in the next verse 12. But there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, which they made high positions, as we know in the previous story, even though they did not follow the dietary code generally set up for people that were being trained for, they were being positions they were being trained for. They excelled otherwise because they were adhering to the dietary code under the Mosaic law in that respect. And God blessed them, as he likes to do sometimes, take people that look like they're going to be completely rejected and dismissed because of their beliefs, but who are faithful to doctrine, and God advances and prospers in spite of everything, see. And they, obviously, their loyalty, first and foremost, while it is obviously you would probably not find any more loyal to their king in being honest and straightforward and serving him, if they're the kind of application of doctrine that they're perceived to be in the Bible. And they're going to do a job unto the Lord. Somebody's doing their job unto the Lord is going to provide the best service of that employee can find or authority. See. Anyway, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They now serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. And Nebuchadnezzar in rage, obviously the reactor factor, get under your emotions, get ticked off. Nobody's going to tell me, nobody's going to disobey me, that type of attitude. And anger gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 13. Then these men were brought before the king and asked him why. And they obviously make it clear why. They are not going to engage in idolatrous worship. Just filling in the blanks for you so we don't have to read the whole chapter. And then, as the story goes, the king has them thrown in the fire, the angel of the Lord, Yahweh, is seen walking in their midst. The guards are going to check on the fire so hot. They get incinerated, even getting close to it, and yet they walk out and don't even smell the smoke. And God used that as a witness, obviously, to Nebuchadnezzar otherwise, and those around him. And then you have the case of Daniel in the lion's den. In chapter 6. And he basically was set up on this one, as we know. And he too would not fall down and worship. And this is during the Medo. He served under Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian Empire, as well as the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire. So he was there under two reigns of rulers. They watched one that exalted him to his position, him get conquered, Babylon, overthrown. And then he finds himself in another high position under new rulers. See, God can take care of you. It doesn't make any difference. If it's not here, it'll be there. That type of deal. And they set it up. People needed to bow down. Same type of scenario as previous. And Daniel's thrown in the lion's den. And Daniel's locked up their mouths. And King didn't like what he saw anyway. And he knew he was being taken care of. He knew after the fact that he was being taken for a ride on this thing. And as it was under their law, it's the law. You know, he couldn't reverse the decision based on the Persian law, even though he's king, and he had to follow through with it. And God delivered them, and then those who were guilty of setting Daniel up, they're the ones that got ate. So you have those, that situation. That is where a government comes in and says, all right, you got to go up to the courthouse steps in Detroit, Michigan, and worship Satan. See? No, thank you. If you don't, you face the penalty of death. No, thank you. Acts 4. Uh, 16 through 22. Peter, John, involved in this situation. And verse 16, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place to them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. In regards to the council, Sanhedrin, and other things, people involved civilly in rulership over them. But in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. As they're out evangelizing, you see. And now they're going to try to shut down the doors for them to talk about the gospel. You know, like the story you hear of militaries trying to shut down people talking about Jesus or their religion. Well, what can I say? Well, my advice, get out. You want to serve an entity that is going to shut the mouths of Christians? To what degree? You hear mixed reports. It's not across the board. But anyway, the situation occurs where that order is given. Verse 18, when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, what is right in the sight of God, give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. You're supposed to be religious leaders. You're supposed to represent God. You tell us who is our loyalty supposed to go to highest of all in this case. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. All they're doing is reporting the facts. Being eyewitnesses in regards to Jesus' ministry, death, burial, and resurrection. See? Verse 21, when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis which they might punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. God provided somewhat protection to the masses who were otherwise going on positive volition, and they didn't want to stir up the crowds. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed, as they were healing people as part of their ministries. When the gift was still intact as part of the temporary gift. And when they had been released, they went on to their own companions, reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord, said, O Lord, it is you who did make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? Or Psalms passage. The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. So even at the at least parts of denial or shutting down God's plan for believers. God intervenes. And verses 27 through 42 of chapter 5. Again, before the Sanhedrin, same type of situation. And God protects them there, especially verse 29, to underscore what we're saying here. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men." So Bible doctrine is your highest authority. All right, the final part of the doctrine addresses the situation at hand presently that we are facing historically in regards to our Christian lives. And that is with the international movement that is obviously has been and on hand and progressing forward with the snowball effect. So internationalism, the New World Order, and the United Nations. Looking at these organizations, these entities, these ideologies that are being promoted today. The New Age movement, as obviously parallel to New World Order, is nothing more than the Tower of Babel with a new vocabulary. It's just packaged in modern times is all it is. Quote, it is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause. Maybe a big idea, but it sure isn't a new one. To achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, continuing, peace and security. There's your propaganda, freedom, and the rule of law. Only the United States has both the moral standing, I heard that chuckle, and the means to back it up. Those words, President George Bush, in the State of the Union address, Los Angeles Times, February 18, 1991. B, the United Nations is the chief exponent of this evil in our time, and the driving force behind the New World Order. Quote, mankind's problems can no longer be solved by national governments. What is needed is a world government. This can best be achieved by strengthening the United Nations system. In some cases, this would mean changing the role of the UN agencies from advice giving to implementation. That is out of the UN report dated 1994. See, the principle of free trade, which is the big talk, obviously, not subject to protective regulations, open borders, or tariffs intended to restrict foreign import, has not helped the citizens of our country. It has not been beneficial. It was established to fulfill an entirely political agenda of a global economy. D, international free trade is life support for the, quote, great merchants, end quote, of the last days. The high mighties, super elite, they're the only ones that has truly benefited. Otherwise, is removing opportunities for employment of citizens within our country, giving it to other citizens of other countries in many cases. James 5, as we remember in James, the great merchants, these people are unscrupulous. They don't care about life. All they care about is the almighty buck, how many yachts they own, how many cars that can go 275 miles an hour, the new Bugatti. I like cars. Owned by Volkswagen, has been in a lot of legal trouble. So the typical person that owns this particular car has a jet, a yacht, four homes, and well, is that not enough? You know. Anyway, great merchants. You look out there, you know, you watch Wealth TV and things of this nature, you go, where in the world is this money? But it's people that have locked into the system, see. Come now, you rich, for those super elite, the super wealthy. Again, being wealthy in and of itself is not wrong. But we're talking about a certain class of people that basically are oppressing and suppressing the common man in order to attain their wealth. Weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. This is your warning, especially for those, obviously, who are unbelievers. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you. The poison, literally, and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. And the bulk of that is stored up in regards to our country. And those who are citizens of our country or have real estate and other legal holdings within our country. And they'll be part of the demise of our USA and Babylon. USA Babylon in the last days, 1 hour, 1 day, through the nuclear holocaust. And then their riches, what then? It'll be all poison. It'll be all radioactive, nothing worth anything. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, verse 4. The common layman is trying to get a job, trying to put bread on the table, see, and which has been withheld by you, cries out against you, you know. Like the executives where their employees basically make minimum wage, and the executives are walking around giving them multi-million-dollar bonuses every year, and even whenever companies are losing money, often. So, and you see all that crap going on all the time. Nothing new under the sun, but you know, this one is repackaged for us in presentation on the last days and how it is. Have been withheld by you, cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting have reached the ears of the Lord of the armies of the Sabbath. Many of these are believers, innocent, and otherwise find themselves taken out of this world. Pharmaceutical companies pushing down people's throats through their influence over the medical society, often with drugs and prescriptions that are hazardous to your health, to put it mildly. Rather than truly seeking other alternatives that are safer, etc. I always say I'm not against prescriptions that are necessary. You have no alternative. But much of this is nothing more than pharmaceuticals, companies, addicting people. All these psycho drugs they're putting people on. This is crazy. Children using these new psychological things, attention deficit syndrome. Let's put them on Prozac, and we'll get them hooked. See, people try to get off these things and they have withdrawals from them. I'm talking about this kind of stuff. Don't do it. Don't protect your children to the best of your ability. Let's ingest them with all these, shots and stuff when they're infants. Shots were used to wait until they was 5 or 6 years old. Now they just get right out of the womb. And they're showing that there's bad effects in regards to children, you know. But anyway. I'm talking about killing innocent people through their product. It doesn't always have to be with a gun. See, you have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you because we're passive in nature. Sometimes that's your only alternative. You have to do it. You do it, etc. But anyway. He, in order to fulfill their objectives, several key elements have been openly advocated by the New World Order, including, one, elimination of individual rights, resulting in complete conformity of all beliefs, values, and attitudes towards a global ideology of a one-world system to be formed around the UN model. Quote, we must begin, in brackets, developing recommended proposals and mechanisms for improving the monitoring of the actions by the various states, commonwealths, and territories of the United States for their conformity with relevant treaties, the provision of relevant information for reports and other monitoring purposes, and the promotion of effective remedial mechanisms. Bill Clinton, Executive Order 13107. Another agenda is population control and reduction. The genocide in Rwanda, which left at least 800,000 dead in 1994, successfully reduced the targeted population by 80 to 90%. Quote, what happened in Rwanda was not a spontaneous outbreak of violence. It had been under preparation for months, preparations made in the presence of 2,500 UN peacekeepers. UN troops had informants from within the Inner Humwa, which is the militia group responsible for the genocide, in brackets, who were telling them about the plans. This information was being sent to UN headquarters in New York. That was published by Bronwyn Adcock, UN criminal investigator. Three, our outcome-based education. The purpose of OBE is to dumb down our children so they will accept the coming totalitarian world government. Got it tonight. This system rejects teaching math, reading, writing, and other basics of education. Instead, not completely, but they subdue it with a higher goal. Instead, the teachers act as coaches to reach certain outcomes, such as politically correct attitude, high self-esteem, and personal management. Quote, the real goal of OBE, it thus becomes clear, is to condition the populace to rapid adaptability to change without protest. The outcome sought is a compliant, willing, unquestioning worker, used to and desiring to cooperate with his fellows as a not-too-smart drone working in the global industrial complex managed by the global elite. The traditional interests and rights of parents have been trampled upon as educators have proceeded on the proposition that professionals know better than parents how to raise their children. End quote. William Bonner, attorney for the Rutherford Institute. Nancy Stable, continuing with this particular point, a former high school teacher in Pennsylvania schools, describes the, quote, values clarification, end quote, technique used in OBE. It is a method for teaching decision-making that teaches a child to abandon all the traditional values and standards taught at home and church, teaches that there is no absolute right or wrong, but that each individual can choose for himself based on what is good for himself. Four, the establishment of a global religion promoted through ecumenicalism. This is promoted through various occult sources that subscribe to the doctrine that the spiritual destiny of mankind is guided by the ascended masters. Can you say Gnosticism at its worst? And that these masters are working to unfold, quote, the plan, end quote. Quote, do not worry if not all religions will join the United Religions Organization. Many nations did not join the UN at its beginning, but later regretted it and made every effort to join. It was the same with the European community, and it will be the case with the world's religions, because whoever stays out or aloof, underline, will sooner or later regret it. End quote. That's Robert Mueller, former Assistant Secretary General of the UN. Quote, we believe that all religions derive their wisdom from that ultimate source. Therefore, the world's faith traditions share in common wisdom, which can be obscured by differences in religious concepts and practices. United Religions Charter. Five, you have the detention plan, allowing our government, the UN powers, to take over the country during a crisis. Quote, however, Congressman Harry Gonzalez, Democrat, Texas, clarified the question of the existence of civilian detention camps. In an interview, the congressman stated, quote, the truth is yes, you do have these standby provisions, and the plans are here, whereby you could, in the name of stopping terrorism, evoke the military, arrest Americans, and put them in detention camps. Another aspect of this is the so-called quote, Rex, end quote, plan, National Security Directive 58 issued by President Reagan in 1982 allows FEMA to basically take over the country during a crisis. The Constitution would officially be suspended and martial law implemented. It's all in place. Six, these references are simply a glimpse into the satanic mechanisms powering the New World Order. Seven, authoritarianism is the appeal today in our society, which is a short step away from totalitarianism. Create the conflict, create the chaos. You have reactor factors that are involved in society, certain people come in and they demand certain actions that are overreacting to the situation, and the law is further compromised. See, that's what Trump's all about. By the way, he's not the only one. If you think you're going to find a good candidate, you've got more hope than I ever had. Eight, just as Nimrod and company use fear and the environment to deceive and enslave the masses, so there is nothing new under the sun. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to tune a light to see, sing in Jesus' name. Amen.